We all have experienced losses in our lives. There's not a single person here that has not experienced some type of loss. When you come to Christ, He does not tell you you did not lose something. No, you will live with that. But then He will show you what you have found in Him.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, November 19th, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Reflections on the Beatitudes. And our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
This morning, I will be brief because we have food coming up. And what I need to say, I think, I can be condensed and I can go back to more specific data on the Beatitudes. But I want to say some things about the Beatitudes, and that's found in Matthew chapter 5. And we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount these days, and it's been a blessing to us all. I certainly have been blessed by just reviewing the scriptures and understanding the power that exists in the words of Jesus as He calls people from all walks of life to enter into the kingdom of God. Because you and I need to know that they say God has no favorites, but sometimes we think He does, but He does not have any favorites. And whoever will may. And it's your disposition to say, yes, Lord, I want to follow You. Like the people who this morning entered into the baptismal waters. When you read chapter 5 and 6 and 7 of Matthew, you're actually looking at the statements that Jesus is making about God's presence in our everyday life. It's mind-blowing. It radicalizes your life. When God says, I'm going to be working with you, let me work with you. And when you pause and you say, I am going to let the kingdom of God in my life, and I'm going to put on the side my own personal kingdom, your life is transformed. Because, if your life is messed up, it's because you're trying to do it on your own. And we all have our own kingdom. You are a unit. And you have, abilities to do whatever you want. That's free will. But I want you to know that just like the bunny rabbit, eventually the battery is going to run down. And once that it runs down, then you have to give an account. But if you come to Christ, your battery will never run out. Because you will enter into a relationship with God, which is eternal. Amen. And not to get you confused or to go into things that are difficult to understand logically, let me just simply say this fact, that though we all have a body, we also have a spirit. And our spirit needs to be revived by the presence of God. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sins. But when you come to Christ, you're made alive with Him. And you become really, honestly, a life, a spirit united with God forevermore. Now notice that when Jesus was on the cross, He said, into your hands I commit my what?
Spirit,
yeah. That's the eternal part of us. This body fades away. But the Bible tells us that this same body will be resurrected and will have an immortal body where we will be serving God forever and ever and ever. All the ages to come through all of space and history. And I've already got a couple of reservations to go to certain galaxies to put facultad there. It's amazing what God has in store for you. You try to do it on your own and you can't make it. We try to say that to people. That the kingdom of God is available to you right now. In the very space surrounding you, there is the kingdom of God. Because He is the King of the kingdom of the heavens. And this is one of the heavens, the three heavens. And this is it. God's here. The Lord is here. And if you just tune in to what He has to do for you and what He's able to do for you, your life will be transformed. So we've been looking at Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes. And so let me refresh your memory this morning and just add a little bit more. And that way we can go home thinking about this stuff, because it's true. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says this way, and we have it in the screen, I believe. And it's a chapter that is filled with and it's packed with truths that can really, really minister to your life. And it says, now when he saw the crowds, you and I are part of that crowd, he went up to a mountainside and sat down. So he saw, he went, and he sat. And then his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, this is what he's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Look at it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are those when people insult you, persecute you falsely, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Look at it. You are the salt of the earth. Who? You. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see the good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Isn't that a mouthful? The Sermon on the Mount tells us that the kingdom is available to us all. No one here can say, it's not for me. Jesus answers two questions. The first question is, which is the good life? If I'm to find the good life, what is genuinely the good life? How can I live a good life? What is it? And we know that a good life is a life in God. That's the good life in God. It's not in the parandas. It's not in the good life, sensible life, meaningful life, deep life. Good life. How can you and I enter into that good life? Well, the good life is in God. Very specifically, those of us who enter into that relationship with God, we will have the good life, because we will have the opportunity to avail ourselves of God's kingdom in every one of our daily occupations. The second big question, of course, is who is truly a good person? One thing is the good life. The other one, who's a good person? And a good person is the one who follows the Lord in their life. And how do you follow the Lord? Do you really want me to tell you how you follow the Lord? You need to read, continuing to read, verse 20 all the way, verse 17 all the way to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which is in chapter 7, verse 27. Because as we will look in the next few days, next few Sundays, we'll see what God shows us how to live, how to be a good person, and how to enjoy the good life. God's not against you. God's not killjoy. God wants you to have life. He said, I've come that you may have life and have it more what? Abundantly. But there is a destroyer, the enemy. He comes to destroy, to steal, to make your life a wreck. And he's working double time, trying to cause you to be afraid of everything. I went downtown to do an errand, and I got caught. My usually run downtown takes about maybe 40 minutes. If there's a little bit of traffic, maybe an hour. I had a three-hour parking lot experience. One of the ramps is closed, and the surface streets, and you know, those are the moments when you're tested. Yes. Those are the moments when your true character comes. Yes. And I said, Lord, give me a good disposition. What can I do with all this loose time here, sitting in this parking lot? Should I just get out and scream and yell at everybody? How many would like to do that? Oh, the temptation was there to do it. But one thing is to be tempted. The other thing is to fall into temptation. And the key is that when we're tempted to do something that is not right, you just don't do it. You do the right thing. So I just turned on the radio with some music, and I said, this is my devotional time. Ha to the devil.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See, there's a way in which God works in your heart that causes you not to fall into the trap of the world ways. You have his way to live. Well, I really believe this. I really believe that when you look at Scripture, you find that you can experience a flavor of life which is different from the rest of the world. And the Lord guides you every day, because it's no longer your kingdom, it's his kingdom that operates in your life. This is why it's being said, believe it or not, with all the stuff that goes on, this is a perfectly safe world for me to live in spite of all the craziness we see. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. It's as simple as that. But some of us can't grasp the simplicity of the gospel and the caring of God for our lives. That is made alive by God when he shows you which is the good life and what makes you a good person. Following the Lord, listening to what he says. It's not what clothes you wear makes you better than others. It's not your money. It's not your bank account. It's following the Lord. Following the Lord. The Beatitudes are wonderful, because in the Beatitudes it says that no one is far from being blessed. Because the worst in the world are blessed. We need to live in response to the Beatitudes. And I don't want to take too much time to all of this, but basically I just want you to know that there are some people in our world today that are spiritual zeros. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And sometimes we get confused. But the kingdom of God is made available to those who are in spiritual poverty. Remember, Jesus speaks to a crowd, and in chapter 4 we see that a crowd of people who were sick and slumbered and this and that and the other, they were demon possessed, they were sick, the whole nine yards. And to them he says, you're blessed. You're blessed if you feel in your own hearts that you are nothing. Now, God does not want you to be nothing to be blessed. He says that if you're nothing, you still have the possibilities of his blessing. That there's nothing that you and I can do to change our status quo except coming to him. And he takes us as we are, and he works in our lives. There are some people who, in reality, are not in tune with God. God says, that's okay. If you want the kingdom, it's available to you. Come to me as you are. Come to me as you are. And you can be hopeless today, and you may think you're far away from the possibility of God's blessings or even interest, and yet God says the kingdom of God is available to you. The world looks at you and they say, you will never succeed. The Lord looks at you and says, my kingdom is yours. There's something about God's love that supersedes anything that you can bring to say, and prevented from. Because the Lord opens his heart. And anyone can come. If you want to come, you can come. And when you look at the gospel of the Beatitudes, you find that those who are written off, those who are sat upon and spat upon and not liked or loved, there's room for them. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are hungry. All of those issues of deficiency, as we the world would see it, they qualify for the kingdom of God. So my brother, my sister, my friend, no matter what situation or position you're in, God is offering you an opportunity to enter into his kingdom. His kingdom is made available to you. Someone said that the meek are the ones who are shy. Well, step up, because even in your shyness, the Lord comes to you and says, you know what? You can be shy in your life. I still have something for you. Others have a burdened desire to make things right in their lives and make things right around the world. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There's a God who comes to you and to me and says, I will take care of you. I will satisfy that hunger. I will do that. Maybe you're hard on yourself, and that's why you want everybody to be right. But the kingdom of heaven, as we said before, has a chemistry that transforms even your past events that were terrible and losses that you cannot retrieve. And yet, when you come to Christ, they're insignificant because of the greatness of God's kingdom in your life. Christ in you, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He says, I want to work with you. You know, the scripture says, commit your way to the Lord and he will strengthen your path. If you look at that verse clearly, it doesn't say, do what I'm telling you what to do. God says, commit your way and I will help you. I will strengthen. God is not imposing himself on you. He wants you to come to him and say, Lord, I would like to do this. Help me. And the Lord strengthens your path. He causes you to reach your destination with his blessing. He shows you what to do and what not to do so that you can avoid the pitfalls. I mean, it's amazing that God is interested in you. I wouldn't be. Amazing. Utterly amazing that the creator of heaven and earth says, I help you. Who can turn down that help? And yet, we resist because we want to be our own bosses. We want to have our own way. And the Lord says, I'll help you. What do you want to do? I really believe that this is how a good person, that's a good life for the good person, is when you allow the Lord to restore your soul with the goodness of his righteousness. He touches you. Maybe I should pause here and say, we all have experienced losses in our lives. There's not a single person here that has experienced some type of loss. When you come to Christ, he does not tell you you did not lose something. No, you will live with that. But then he will show you what you have found in him. Whew. And when you think of it, he's so much greater than what we have lost. And yet he loves us and understands us. The other beatitude says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And the world says, if you are merciful, then they're going to take advantage of you. And outside of heaven's rule, when you're merciful to others, they say, hey, you know what? You know, he just bows to anything. And when you say, well, I want to be merciful, the world says, no, that's not the standard. And it's true, in the world, there is no standard. And we're despised by those that want you not to have mercy, but to crack the whip. But when you come to Christ and you come to the Lord, you know that mercy was great, that you are able to have mercy on others. because God had mercy on you. It's an attribute that only comes from God. You know, the great power of the emperors is had the power of life and death, and they would rule death and life. And the emperor one time said the most important thing, Nero, I believe it was, one of them said something like, it's easy for me to condemn you to death, but it's difficult for me to forgive you. Have mercy. But mercy comes to you and comes to me. And we need to have that mercy in our heart. The pure in heart, you know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I know some people are perfectionists in our church. And with great love, I tell you, you're a wonderful pain to everybody. And we used to have somebody in the church that was very careful about doctrine. And if I were to say something that was not according to his code of doctrine, he would correct me at the end of the service. And then there are others that are like hawks as to what kind of spiritual life we have. And some people like to be the judge, you know, well, if you do this, if you do that, if you do the other, you know, then you're doing well. But I'm telling you, they're even harder on themselves because something happened inside of them that they want to see perfection around them because they see that they're not perfect themselves. The Lord says, those who are like that, there's room in my kingdom for you because it's open to you. Because though you're miserable inside, wanting perfection around you, and you know that you're not perfect, I am here to tell you that if you come with that desire to have perfection, I want you to know that you will eventually see God, and then your mouth will be shut up. Because until I don't see God, everybody else is wrong. But you're going to see God. When they see God, that will be the case. Blessed are the peacemakers. I got 10 more minutes. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, it's a long one. I'll leave it there. I'll leave it all there. I leave it there because there is a description of traditional looking at the Beatitudes that says all these conditions, and then there's the other view of the Beatitudes to say that we may have deficiencies, and yet in spite of our deficiencies, you're welcome to enter into the kingdom of God, to say, oh Lord, I am here. He preached the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God. I'm here. That's not being preached as much as it should be. But I'm telling you, when you come to the Lord and say, Lord, have your way in my life. I want to follow you like those who were baptized today. I want to be a disciple of Christ. I want to follow the Lord. Lord, what shall I do in my life? Then we put it to the test. And we see that everyone here can hear my voice, can be and should be a disciple of Christ the moment you accept him as your Savior. And then he says to all of us who have deficiencies and have struggles and have issues and whatever, then he says to you and he says to me, you are the light of the world. How can that be? Because God takes human loss and human poverty and changes it around. And you become a light in the midst of a dark world. That in spite of your shortcomings, and in spite of your negligence, and in spite of whatever you think is wrong, when Christ comes into your life and you say, have your way in my life, you become a beacon of light. You, and you, and you. Where? In church? Well, I hope so, but really, 24/7. Especially where you work. You must shine where you work. Because that's where you practice your faith. You practice your faith where you work, where you spend your time, at home, at work, at play. It's a 24-hour thing that God is working in your life. Like in that blessed parking lot event. Instead of blowing and screaming and yelling and saying crazy people who burned that bridge, and they have to repair it and whatever. You simply say, okay, Lord, let's spend some time together. Calms your blood pressure goes down. You're no longer agitated. You're no longer off your rocker. Well, a little bit. But I'm saying there is this attribute of God working. You're the light. I have to be the light in the traffic jam. You have to be the light where you work so you don't cheat. You don't steal. You don't have a foul mouth. Your vocabulary is good. You're the light of the world. It says, you're the light of the world. Of course, I don't want to skip verse 13. Because verse 13 is even more poignant. Jesus says, it starts with 13, but and I went to 14, but 13 says, you're the salt of the earth. Salt has many qualities, but one of them is to preserve. When you put salt in food, it doesn't spoil. But the one I like better is that salt gives it taste. You are the taste of the world. To really experience taste, you must know the Lord, because you're the salt that you pour over your everyday discrepancies, and they taste good because your presence is there. He gives you a flavor. Life is to be flavored as a Christian, and it's wonderful. How many like salt? Well, the doctor told me not to ask that. Ah, forget the doctor. Just take the salt. So these are conditions. And he goes on to say, you know, you don't hide your light. You need to be tasty. People need to taste you. They need to understand what you're made up of. Taste. And he says, because if you're not tasty as a Christian, who wants to have salt that doesn't taste like salt? It's thrown away. You have a value, and you need to deploy that value at home. With your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your grandchildren. Boy, this being a Christian is a lot more than coming to church on Sunday morning, huh? That's why a lot of people say, I don't want to be bothered with that. Well, go on, keep on going where you're going, and let's see what happens. Because eventually that battery is going to run out, and the bunny rabbit not longer going to be able to. And you're going to run out of battery, and you know what's going to happen. Well, now you're dead. Oh, there is no battery change. Well, I really believe that when you allow the Lord to work in your life, you're going to start working in ways in which it would be transformed. The Sermon on the Mount will change your life. The Sermon on the Mount needs to be lived in the power of God's grace. It doesn't mean perfection. The Bible never calls us to perfection. But it points to direction. So when you look at verse 20, it says, for I tell you, we've not read this, but I'll read it to you. For I tell you that unless your righteousness, your way of life, surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. If you think that faith is just religion, if you think that knowing a creed is all you need, if you think that memorizing scriptures is all you have to do, no, you have to live the life. You have to allow God's power to enter into your life, and you must be willing for the Lord to work in such a way that you will be salt and you will be light to those who perish. And Jesus begins to say this. I'll read it to you. I'm winding down. So be thankful. Unless I go on. Because in my old age, I can repeat myself. You've heard what was said to people long ago. Do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. That's verse 21. That's the law. And then Jesus turns it around and says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. All of a sudden, I don't have to actually physically put a knife in your back. All I have to have is an attitude of anger in my heart. And that calls me to judgment. Oh, it just throws your mind off. All of a sudden, can I really do that? Yeah. Instead of hating, you ask God to help you love them. I know. There are some people Like that old lady used to say, I don't want my husband to die. I just want him to go see Jesus. And we make room for our kingdom to be over God's kingdom. You see where this is headed? I think it's wonderful. Because we need to learn how to do that. And together we're going to learn how to love instead of hate. We're going to go through some lessons here on Sundays. Looking at what God expects of us and how his kingdom takes over our kingdom. And how we can be brutal in our assessment of ourselves. And yet we're still candidates for the kingdom of God to come in. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The word repent doesn't mean coming to these altars and screaming and yelling and crying and then getting up and going on your merry life. Repent means change your mind. Rethink it. Did you know that? It means to rethink. To think differently. Ha! You can do that. I'm going to get in trouble by what I'm saying. But that's okay because I can get into trouble and I don't feel it. The fact that you come forward to give your heart to the Lord is commendable. But it means nothing if you have not repented. And today in our churches we have a lot of decisions but very few disciples. People who are willing to follow the Lord in their everyday affairs. Silencio la noche, ¿verdad? Well, I need to stop. Well, I could go on, you know, those who are insulted and persecuted and people who look at you and they'll say, you're off your rocket for following the Lord. Yeah, you probably are. But you're much, much more crazy if you don't follow the Lord. Because you are made part of a kingdom that will never perish. And you will never run out of battery. Because you're connected to the source of life, which is God himself. And the moment you die, you close your eyes and you go into the next world, someone has to tell you that you died because you won't even know you died. Why? Because Jesus says, he who believes in my word shall never see death. That's a mind blower. You know, psychologists, bless them. I pray for them. They say that every problem that you and I have is attached to the fear of death. So it's true. Human beings are afraid to die. That's it. So all of a sudden the doctor says, this pimple is suspicious. You're ready to call Forest Lawn or Rose Hills. It's the fear of death. It's the fear of death. But once you come to Christ, there is no such thing as fear of death. And all through Scripture, it says, no, God has abolished death. Christ abolished death. Yeah, your husband, he's having a ball over there. We could bring him back, he would beat us up. We have something so wonderful here. I pray that your eyes of your understanding will be open to see the immensity, the powerful kingdom of God among us, that we can enter in and enjoy life abundantly. Abundantly. Well, that's it. Lord, I thank you for speaking to our hearts and for causing our desire, Lord, to bless you and to proclaim you as a king of kings and Lord of lords. I pray, Lord Jesus, that there will be a few of us this very morning that we will want to repent, that we'll have to rethink our life and come to you and avail ourselves of your kingdom. Lord, it's not just being in a church. It's not just coming forward. It's living for you, Lord, and living in such a way that we're the salt of the earth and we're the light of the world. I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to our hearts. Those of us who have made commitments to you and we belong to you, that you would bring upon our hearts a need and a desire to magnify your name and to shine as we've never shined and to be tasty Christians, good, salty Christians. We pray this way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Will you stand with me as we sing unto the Lord? Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of it. Set your minds on things above, God's kingdom, not on earthly things, your own kingdom. Listen to this. For you died. You're dead. You died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Wow. All right. This is the day that the Lord has made. I particularly am very thankful for this day, because if I did not have this day, I would not be here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another and love the Lord, and we'll see you, see what's cooking.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.